At Christmas time, when my kids were quite a bit younger, I was in the habit, like many parents, of taking them to see Santa Claus. They would wait in line excitedly, and when it was their turn, they would eagerly go up to him, sometimes climb into his lap, ready with their requests when he unfailingly asked them, "What do you want for Christmas this year?" One of these occasions in particular stands out in my memory. My son Ryan, who is the middle child, he's 15 now, was not quite 4, and he stood in line that year holding a shoebox. Was not an Operation Christmas Child shoebox. When his turn came, he went up to see Santa, shoebox held carefully in both hands, and predictably Santa said to him, "What have you got there?" And Ryan opened the box, and it was full of pictures of things that he had painstakingly, things that he had painstakingly cut out from sale flyers and catalogs and anything else he could find that had pictures of anything that he thought he might want to get for Christmas that year. It was quite a project on his part. Santa looked at that and said, "Wow, that is awesome." At this time of year, it's pretty easy for kids, usually, to answer that question, "What do you want for Christmas?" In fact, sometimes it's too easy. I, over the years, have continually reminded my own kids that when they are writing their Christmas list, it's a wish list and not an order form. Sometimes kids want what their friends have. Like one year when John, my youngest, said he wanted a cell phone and an iPad and a laptop. I don't think he got any of those things. At other times, they just want what they want. There was another year, for example, when Ryan, in his letter to Santa, said that he wanted a T-Rex that could make cotton candy. At other times, they want whatever has been advertised as the latest and greatest toy or gadget. I remember one Christmas when I was a kid, for example, when I desperately wanted a doll that could blow out a birthday candle. It was called, and I had to look this up on Google, I don't really have any clear memory of the name of the doll, but it was called the Happy Birthday Tender Love Baby Doll, made by Mattel. I'm sure I had seen her advertised on TV and thought it would be so cool to have a doll that could blow out a birthday candle. And even though I did not tend to play much with dolls, the marketers had done their job, and I really, really wanted this doll. I really, really hoped that I would find her under the Christmas tree. I thought for sure I would get it. You can imagine how I felt on Christmas morning when I came down after waiting for so long and hoping so fervently and making sure my wishes were known, and found, I'll come back to that later. For the moment, we're going to check in with John the Baptist and see what he really, really wanted. Like me and Ryan and most kids, I'll have to check with Sabrina and Jackson after the service, most kids at this time of year, John also really knew what he wanted. Not for Christmas, of course, but from a Messiah. He knew what he wanted, what he had been waiting for all of his life, what the people of Israel had been waiting and hoping for thousands of years. And he thought for sure he was getting that, all of that, everything he'd been wanting, everything they had all been hoping for so long when Jesus appeared on the scene. At least that's what we're led to believe if we look at what we read last week, which told us what John was saying about Jesus when he showed up as an adult and was baptized and was ready to begin his public ministry. Back in the 3rd chapter of Matthew, if you recall from last week, we read this, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Yikes. You'd better hope that you were among the wheat and not the chaff when this guy, this one who is more powerful than John, comes around. And then in the verse right before that, verse 10, John had said, even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. You'd better hope that whatever fruit the tree of your life was bearing was good. John had high hopes for Jesus. John had definite expectations for what the Messiah was there to do. John knew what he wanted. He wanted someone to clean house, someone to get rid of the riffraff, someone to set things straight, to restore things to their rightful order, to deliver the people of Israel from their oppressors, and to bring peace and power to them through the reign of the Messiah's earthly kingdom. John wanted someone to say, enough is enough. Good people, you whose lives are bearing good fruit, come with me. Bad people, you whose lives are not, you're gonna burn. John and many of the Jewish people of the day knew what they wanted. It had been made clear to them for thousands of years through the prophets that the Messiah would establish God's reign of peace and restore God's righteousness through, as they understood it, conquering those who had conquered them. They knew what they wanted. They knew what they were hoping for. They knew what they desperately longed to find when the Messiah finally appeared. And then Jesus came. So exciting. The Messiah has finally come, John announced. He's here walking among us. And you'd better watch out because he is going to clean house. People are gonna burn. This is gonna be good. And then no burning. Lots of teaching and preaching and forgiving and accepting and healing, but not really very much house cleaning. Wait, what? Where's the judgment? What happened to the winnowing fork that would separate the grain from the chaff? Where's the cutting down with the axe and throwing into the fire? Why isn't anyone burning? John knew what he wanted, what he had hoped for all of his life from a Messiah. John knew what the people of Israel had waited for thousands of years. And Jesus wasn't really that Messiah. And so from prison, John sent his disciples to go ask Jesus, what the heck, man? Okay, well, what we're told is that they asked him on John's behalf, are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? In other words, John seemed to be saying, I know you're my cousin, but I thought you were also the Messiah. I really thought you were the one. We all thought you were the one. I've been telling everyone that you're the Messiah. Did I somehow get it wrong? Because you're not really acting like the Messiah is supposed to act. John knew what he wanted, what he was hoping for, what the people of Israel had been longing for. And Jesus didn't seem to be it. And so he had asked, are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? True to form, Jesus did not simply answer yes or no to John's question. He seems to have some great aversion to answering people's questions directly. But he did reply, and he said, as we heard, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Jesus is bringing the reign of God to earth, just not the way John had wanted. Jesus is restoring God's righteousness to the people of Israel, but it doesn't look like what they had imagined. Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah, but the way he's going about it isn't the way they were planning for it to be. John and the people of Israel may have known what they really, really wanted, but they didn't know what they really, really needed. Understandably, they thought they wanted justice for themselves, for their people who had been oppressed and conquered people for so much of their history. Jesus, as the Messiah, offered justice and forgiveness and mercy and healing, not only for the people of Israel, but for all. Not what they thought they wanted, but what they really needed. They thought they wanted peace, outward peace established by power and dominance. Power and dominance aligned with them for a change. Jesus, as the Messiah, offered peace, but peace in their spirits, a greater and deeper and more lasting peace. And not only for the people of Israel, but for all people. Not what they thought they wanted, but what they really needed. They thought they wanted an earthly king, a ruler who would deliver them victoriously from their enemies. Jesus, as the Messiah, offered victory, but over fear and disease and despair and even death. A type of victory so much more profound and eternal, and not only for the people of Israel, but for all people. Not what they thought they wanted, but what they really needed. And so back to us and the question of the hour. What do you want for Christmas? Or better, what do you want from a Messiah? Do you want someone to come and clean house? I'd like someone to come and clean my house. Do you want someone to get rid of the riffraff, to bring a winnowing fork and sift the chaff from the grain and send the chaff to burn? Sometimes, if we're honest, I think we might have to admit that that's kind of what we want, or that's what we think we want, because we're not the riffraff. They are. Those people over there. Sometimes, if we're honest, I think we might have to admit that we wish that God or someone would just get rid of those people whose lives are not bearing good fruit. It would be so much better if we didn't have to deal with all of those people, right? Can we admit that? Sometimes, if we're honest, I think we would have to admit that we just want the good people to win and the bad people to lose. Sometimes we just want the good people to make the rules and the bad people, when they break them, and they will break them because they're bad people, to have to go away. And in our most angry and hurt and judgy moments, we might even think that it would be okay if they were sent somewhere to stay away forever, far away from us. Maybe we're not so different from John. Maybe we're not really ready for Jesus to be the Messiah. Maybe he's too loving, too patient. Maybe he offers too much forgiveness and healing to too many people, too many times. Maybe we want to ask with John, are you really the one that we've been waiting for all of these years? Are you sure? Because we can keep waiting. What's another few hundred or thousand years? Because like Ryan was the year with his shoebox, and like I was the year of the happy birthday, tender love baby doll, we can be pretty sure that we know what we want. And really, deep down, we just want to win, right? We want to come out on top. We want God to be on our side, and we want God finally to give us the victory. We want good to win and bad to be punished, and peace to prevail, and power to be in the hands of those who deserve it, who are people like us. We have waited and waited and waited for this. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? So are you the one who's going to give us all of that? We want to ask Jesus. Are you the one who will bring the reign of God like we think it should be? Like we want it to be? Are you that one? Or do we have to wait for another? We know what we really want, but maybe we don't know what we really need. Because I think, really, we would be in a heap of trouble if that winnowing fork Messiah appeared. If we're honest, I think, our lives don't always bear good fruit. Because like we admitted last week, we are broken. We don't always do what we want. Sometimes we do what we don't want. We've been hurt, and we continue to cause hurt. As good as we are and as hard as we try, we're broken people, and we don't always and only bear good fruit. As much as anyone else, we need God's love and patience. As much as anyone else, we need God's forgiveness and healing. As much as anyone else, we need the Messiah that Jesus embodied, so much more than the Messiah that John expected. John thought he knew what he wanted, just like I was sure I knew what I wanted. Thank goodness my parents did not get me the happy birthday, tender love baby doll that I was so sure I wanted and had desperately longed for. They knew that I would have played for her with her for about 10 seconds and then wished I'd gotten something else. Thank God that God did not give John and the people of Israel the Messiah that they were so sure they wanted and had so desperately longed for, but instead gave them and us the Messiah that God knows we all need. Thank God that God gave them and us Jesus, the Messiah that, yes, offers peace and deliverance and restoration and justice and victory, but in ways that are ultimately good for all of God's creation and all of God's beloved children. So what do you want this year? Not for Christmas, although if any of you have an answer for that question, I would love to hear it. But from the Messiah, are you only hoping for the things that you think you want? Or are you really ready to receive the things that you and I and the world around us desperately need? Amen.